tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabe. Anabe is the only machine washable sofa inside and out where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
When asked about the lyrics he contributed to the iconic Elton John song Candle in the Wind, Bernie Taupin said, "I think the biggest misconception about this song is that I was this rabid Marilyn Monroe fanatic, which really couldn't be further from the truth. It's not that I didn't have respect for her. It's just that the song could just as easily have been about James Dean or Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Sylvia Plath, or Virginia Woolf. I mean, basically anybody, any writer, actor, actress, or musician who died young and sort of became this iconic picture of Dorian Gray, that thing where they simply stopped aging. It's a beauty frozen in time." I believe Bernie when he says that, except that song was about Marilyn Monroe. She, in her early death, captured the public imagination like few others, likely much more than James Dean, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Sylvia Plath, or Virginia Woolf. I mean, Andy Warhol made portraits of both Marilyn and James Dean, but which one can you see best in your mind's eye? Marilyn's place in history is likely fixed in part due to the mystery of her death. What really happened? Was it an accident, suicide, or murder? On today's Saturday Matinee, the podcast History Uncovered tries to sort through all of it. History Uncovered explores the uncharted corners of the world, bringing you surprising secrets about topics you thought you knew well to incredible stories that didn't make the history books. I hope you enjoy. And while you're listening, be sure to search for and follow History Uncovered. We put a link in the show notes to make it easy for you.
When Marilyn Monroe died on August 4th, 1962, it was to many as if one of the world's brightest lights had suddenly been snuffed out forever. The 36-year-old blonde bombshell had captivated movie audiences around the globe for the entirety of the previous decade, as films like Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and Some Like It Hot became some of the biggest hits of their day. And her on-screen life was often less dramatic than her off-screen one, as she romanced everyone from Joe DiMaggio to Arthur Miller to President John F. Kennedy. So how exactly did this beloved actress and icon end up dead before she even reached her 40th birthday? The cause of Monroe's death, investigators said at the time, was likely suicide. She had apparently overdosed on barbiturates, purposefully ingesting an alarming number of pills over the course of only a minute. But not everyone bought the official account of Marilyn Monroe's death. Though she had struggled with personal demons, and some of her struggles, like her three failed marriages, had played out in public, many of those closest to her refused to believe that Monroe had taken her own life. They insisted that she had seemed happy in her final days, and that she was making plans for upcoming things like a trip to Mexico. Meanwhile, further examination suggested that she may not have killed herself at all. Despite the high levels of drugs in her system, there were no pills found in her stomach, and a mysterious bruise hinted that she may have been injected with a deadly dose of Nembutal. To this day, the true cause of Marilyn Monroe's death remains controversial, and a number of disturbing theories have proliferated over the years, with many claiming foul play perpetrated by everyone from the mafia to her ex-lovers John F. Kennedy and his brother Robert. But where does the truth lie? This is the story of Marilyn Monroe's death, from her bizarre final hours to the mystery that's lingered ever since. You're listening to History Uncovered, brought to you by the digital publisher All That's Interesting, where we explore the uncharted corners of the natural world and the world past. I'm All That's Interesting's associate editor, Leah Silverman, and today we're going back to 1962 and the shocking death of Marilyn Monroe.
Thank you.
Before she was Marilyn Monroe, she was simply Norma Jean Mortensen. Born to a single mother in Los Angeles on June 1, 1926, Monroe had a volatile childhood and spent her early years being shunted between foster families while her mother struggled with mental illness. But despite her harsh beginnings, Monroe seemed to gracefully make the leap to stardom in her mid-20s. After working as a model, she started booking bit parts in movies. Bit parts quickly became starring roles, and people across America fell in love. In a review of Monroe's 1953 film Niagara, which is widely called her first starring role, the New York Times raved, quote, "The producers are making full use of both the grandeur of the falls and its adjacent areas, as well as the grandeur that is Marilyn Monroe." Behind the scenes, however, Marilyn Monroe's life wasn't all Hollywood glamour. She suffered from depression and possibly bipolar disorder, alongside ailments like endometriosis and gallbladder disease. What's more, Monroe battled through several tumultuous marriages and the very public breakups that resulted, including with her second husband, baseball star Joe DiMaggio, and her third husband, playwright Arthur Miller. And by 1962, the cracks in Monroe's famous facade had begun to show. At the time, Monroe was filming what would prove to be her last movie, Something's Gotta Give, but production wasn't going well. Monroe was frequently late to set, and when she did show up, she often flubbed her lines. Others later accused her of coming to work in a quote-unquote depressed and drug-induced haze, and she was ultimately fired for quote-unquote spectacular absenteeism in June 1962. This was shortly after Monroe had famously flown across country to sing Happy Birthday for President John F. Kennedy at Madison Square Garden, much to the great annoyance of the movie's producers. Yet despite the problems that plagued her throughout 1962, things still seemed to be looking up. After she was fired from Something's Gotta Give, Monroe begged to return, and the producers agreed. She signed a $1 million contract with Fox on August 1st and resumed filming. But just 4 days later, the world awoke to find that Marilyn Monroe had died at the age of just 36. So what exactly happened during her now mysterious final hours? According to police reports, the last phone call that Marilyn Monroe ever made was to the actor Peter Lawford, brother-in-law to both John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy. On the night of August 4th, 1962, Monroe told Lawford to say goodbye on her behalf to both his wife and to the president, and to, quote, "say goodbye to yourself because you're a nice guy," unquote. In the wee hours of the next morning, August 5th at around 3 a.m., Monroe's maid Eunice Murray noticed a light on in Monroe's room. Alarmed by her lack of response to the increasingly urgent knocks on her bedroom door, Murray called Monroe's psychiatrist, Dr. Ralph Greenson, who rushed to his patient's home to check on her. Greenson had seen Monroe earlier that day and later recounted that she had seemed depressed, although not so depressed that he was overly alarmed. But as he peered into Monroe's window, he could see that something was terribly amiss. Unable to get into Monroe's room through her bedroom door, he used a fireplace poker to break in through the window, and there, tangled in her champagne-colored sheets, Greenson found Marilyn Monroe dead in her bed, clutching a telephone. He later wrote, "I could see from many feet away that Marilyn was no longer living. There she was, lying face down on the bed, bare shoulders exposed, and as I got closer, I could see the phone clutched fiercely in her right hand. It was just unbelievable. So simple and final and over." Greenson called Dr. Hyman Engelberg, who had prescribed sleeping pills to Monroe, and Engelberg called the police, who arrived on the scene at around 5 a.m. Nothing in Monroe's house looked amiss, they later said, but they did find more than a dozen pill bottles on her bedside table. One empty bottle had previously contained 50 capsules of a sedative called Nembutal, which had only been prescribed to her a few days earlier, with a dosage of just one per night. But despite the empty pill bottles next to her bed, the exact cause of Marilyn Monroe's death wasn't immediately clear, neither to the authorities nor to her legions of devastated fans who woke up to see front page headlines telling them that their favorite star had suddenly perished. After the news first broke, the world waited with bated breath for the results of her autopsy.
Black Friday is bringing the sunshine and the savings with Cheap Caribbean Vacations. Right now, you can score $500 off site-wide vacation packages when you book 4 nights or more. From Cancun to Aruba to Punta Cana, your next beach vacay is calling your name. It's the perfect time to book. What are you waiting for? Go to cheapcaribbean.com and get $500 off your next vacation today.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities.
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America.
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Every year, I promise myself I'll find the perfect gift.
Something they'll actually use.
And love. This year, I found it. The Bartesian Cocktail Maker.
Oh, that's the one that makes cocktails at the push of a button, right?
Exactly. Over 60 bar-quality drinks from martinis to margaritas. Perfectly crafted every time. I got one for my sister and maybe for myself too.
Smart. It's the season of giving and sipping.
And right now, you can save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers.
That's a real holiday miracle.
Because the best gifts bring people together and make the holidays a little easier.
Give the gift of better cocktails this season with Bartesian. Mix over 60 premium drinks at the touch of a button. Save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers. Don't wait. This offer ends December 2nd. Shop now at Bartesian.com/drinks. That's BARTESIAN.com/drinks.
Life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
12 days after Marilyn Monroe's death, the results of her autopsy were released to the public. Dr. Thomas T. Noguchi, who had conducted the autopsy on August 5th, wrote that, quote, "I ascribe the death to acute barbiturate poisoning due to ingestion of overdose." At a news conference that day, the medical examiner, Dr. Theodore Kerfey, additionally told reporters that, quote, "It is my conclusion that the death of Marilyn Monroe was caused by a self-administered overdose of sedative drugs and that the mode of death is probable suicide." The report had found that Monroe had ingested a high number of pills at an alarming rate. Monroe had, Noguchi wrote, such high levels of nembutal and chloral hydrate in her system that he suspected she had taken the barbiturates in, quote, one gulp or in a few gulps over a minute or so. What's more, Kerfey had also ordered a quote-unquote psychological autopsy on Monroe, which seemed to back up his conclusion that Monroe had died by suicide. The three mental health professionals who had conducted the psychological autopsy found that, quote, Miss Monroe had suffered from psychiatric disturbance for a long time, unquote. Despite her success and her scores of adoring fans, doctors found that she had, quote, often expressed wishes to give up, to withdraw, and even to die, and that she'd even attempted to kill herself before. A re-examination of Marilyn Monroe's death 20 years later, in 1982, came to the same conclusion. It found that, quote, based on the evidence available to us, it appears that her death could have been a suicide or a result of an accidental drug overdose. Yet as the years went on and Marilyn Monroe passed into the realm of bygone legends, chilling questions and theories about her death have emerged. Not everyone accepts the official story that she died by suicide. In fact, many believe that something much, much more sinister was afoot that day in 1962. For those who believe that Marilyn Monroe was the victim of foul play, the testimony of her friends and family provides compelling evidence that she was not suicidal. While some of them admitted that her death could have been accidental, many simply could not believe the idea that Monroe had decided to take her own life. In their telling, Monroe had plenty of things to live for, including the relationship she'd recently reignited with her ex-husband, Joe DiMaggio. Her half-sister, Bernice Baker Miracle, later said that, quote, it could have been an accident, because I had just talked to her a short time before. She had so many things to look forward to, and she was happy. Monroe's friend, Pat Newcomb, sobbed to the Los Angeles Times on August 5th, 1962, that, quote, this must have been an accident. Marilyn was in perfect physical condition and was feeling great. We had made plans for today. We were going to the movies this afternoon. And another friend of Monroe's, James Bacon, similarly stated, quote, she wasn't the least bit depressed. She was talking about going to Mexico. So Monroe could have died accidentally, but some people, including those with a front row seat to her autopsy, have implied over the years that she was actually murdered. One of these people is John Minor, who was the deputy district attorney of Los Angeles County and a liaison to the county's chief medical examiner coroner. He claimed that Monroe's stomach contents had mysteriously gone missing and that her autopsy didn't actually find any evidence that she'd ingested drugs. He insists instead that if Monroe had taken handfuls of Nembutal, as her autopsy claimed, the medical examiner would have found yellow spots on her stomach. Since Noguchi found no such spots, Minor concluded that Monroe hadn't taken the drugs orally, and since no needle marks were found on her body, she didn't appear to have injected them either. Thus, Minor believes that, quote, Marilyn Monroe took or was given chloral hydrate to render her unconscious. Someone dissolved Nembutal in water by breaking open 30 or more capsules. That person then administered the Nembutal-loaded solution by enema to Miss Monroe using an ordinary fountain syringe or an enema bag, unquote. However, Noguchi disputes Minor's claims that the pills would have left yellow spots. But Minor is hardly the only person who believes that Marilyn Monroe was killed. Journalist Anthony Summers, for example, wrote in his 1985 book Goddess that Monroe had told several friends shortly before her death that she planned to make some kind of big quote-unquote announcement about the Kennedy brothers. She heavily implied that she was heartbroken that Robert Kennedy had decided to end their relationship. Kennedy, Summers wrote, was concerned that word about his affair had reached his enemies, like Chicago gangster Sam Giancana and Teamster president Jimmy Hoffa, Thus, Summer suggests, he neutralized the threat. Did the Kennedys kill Marilyn Monroe? It's a deeply unsettling idea, but perhaps even that is not as unsettling as the official account of her demise. Though she was beautiful, beloved, and seemed perfectly happy to those who knew her best, Monroe nevertheless felt deeply alone and depressed in ways that even her friends and confidants could not understand. And perhaps in the end, that was what caused her tragic demise.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities.
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America.
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Owning a home is full of surprises. Some wonderful, some not so much. And when something breaks, it can feel like the whole day unravels. That's why HomeServe exists. For as little as $4.99 a month, you'll always have someone to call. A trusted professional ready to help, bringing peace of mind to 4.5 million homeowners nationwide. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.